Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. Today, I am talking to the co-founder and director of Love Brand & Co., Oliver Tomalin. Love Brand & Co., they are a beachwear sensation created by a British couple, Oliver and Rose Tomalin. With their love of island life and nature, predominantly elephants, the couple are redefining beachwear with a greater purpose. Renowned for thoughtful prints, effortless style, sustainable fabrics, Love Brand & Co. has mastered the balance of casual chic with uncompromising attention to detail and an enduring commitment to helping wildlife. Really loved this interview. Great talking to Oliver, and we get into all of the minutiae of how it all started, his love for elephants, the designs, and where the brand is going next. So here is Oliver to talk about Love Brand & Co. in his own words.
I'm Oliver, founder of Love Brand. Well, actually, I should say co-founder, as you you highlighted, Peter, giving my wife due credit as the other half of Love Brand. Love Brand & Co. is a British beachwear brand. What we're trying to do is export the island life that my wife and I love to London and the world, together with our passion and desire to help wildlife.
Amazing. So take me back to the beginning. Are we talking about 10 years ago when this got off the ground?
Yes. Amazing to think that. It's actually a little bit over 10 years. The kind of pandemic's frozen and slightly stunted our 10-year anniversary celebration. So we should probably get to that at some point. But yes, I first conceived the brand in 2010, and we developed it, my wife and I, our girlfriend at the time. And I rose in the sort of second half of 2010, and we started trading in 2011. So it's, over 10 years, hard to believe, since we sold our first pair of trunks on the shop floor of Selfridges in 2011.
Wow.
So it's quite an interesting point, actually, to do a bit of a retrospective. And I think the last few years have kind of given us that time to draw breath and kind of see the project and how far we've come with it. A little bit of a longer lens, which is rather than being kind of madly running around doing one thing and then the next, the day to day. But yes, going back to how it all began, it's a rather kind of fated story in many ways. I've been always a big believer of embracing whatever life throws at you, and I decided to not pursue architecture as a career, which is what I studied at university, to actually start importing espadrilles, which was an extraordinary idea to kind of stop designing buildings. And my friends and family found me on Portobello Road and early on a Saturday morning with a store full of all these different coloured espadrilles that I fell in love with when I was doing my architectural degree in Madrid.
Nice.
So that's a sort of story of its own. But that was quite a key juncture in my life when I decided not to pursue architecture and just kind of follow my dreams and not know exactly what life would be. I think with a career in architecture, that's basically what you're going to be doing, for your entire career. And I was just had a little bit more of a of an entrepreneurial spirit, I suppose, and wanted to kind of see where everything led me. That was my first little idea, which was an opener into the world of retail.
Uh-huh.
And I just caught the bug. Sadly, the espadrille business wasn't as lucrative or as kind of scalable at the time as I'd hoped, but it was still an incredible learning. Yeah. I sort of over the few years of doing that took a stall in Portobello Road to distributing espadrilles with John Lewis nationwide, which was the kind of claim to fame on that. And then actually it was that deal that sealed the fate of that project, because I realized how important margin was if I was going to actually pursue wholesale business. And with all of this, I've been going into all of these things with no experience, just learning on the job. And I learned the hard way that you really need a much better margin if you're going to pursue a wholesale business within that particular project. So that was the end of that, and I needed to relook at things. So I was dead set on a summer brand, but not very expensive espadrilles that also had a bit of a ceiling retail price that everyone kind of felt that they could get them in Century Market for X. So I needed to start again, and I really wanted to manufacture my own line and come up with my own brand and really add value. And so I went away and kind of came up with that all at the same time as meeting Rose, and we did that together, and that's how Love Brand came to be. I thought swimwear was a very exciting space. I felt like there was time for a new brand that could freshen up and disrupt the men's luxury swimwear market a bit.
So what was it like 10 years ago, that market?
It's quite, well, back in 2010, the key leader for me in the style of swim shorts that we do was and arguably still is the French brands of Vilebrequin, Coin, maybe in French language, French accent, and the great British, in my understanding of how like men's swims evolved from, kind of chucking on your drawers and jumping in the sea, in the early days, to some very basic swim shorts, something to wear. I felt that there could be a similar offering, a comfortable swimming trunk offering, and that's what I kind of gave thought to and created Love Brand to kind of do. What we wanted to do, and I say we, the royal we, it was just Little Rose and Little Old Eye at the time, was come up with something that was kind of somewhere in between in terms of style. So casual, but also really elevated. And most importantly, the love in Love Brand, and that's what gave birth to the name, is that we wanted to do it all with this huge passion to help wildlife. And that was our kind of unique selling point. And, we came to market, as I say, itself, which is with the strapline trunks to trunks, so swimming trunks to save wild elephants. And that's how it all began. Why elephants, you may be thinking, is again kind of fated. My wife Rose, when we met and we were talking about all this, had just come back from an elephant sanctuary in Kenya, and in 2010 as well, there was this elephant parade in London. I don't know if you saw it, but it was these beautiful painted elephant sculptures that were kind of monumental art exhibition around London, and it caught my eye. And the main message of the campaign was that elephants could be extinct within, I think at the time, within 20 years, or I can't remember exactly what the campaign message was, but it was alarming. And realized that elephants, which was a kind of favorite animal of mine growing up, with my father's childhood and early life spent in South Africa, and so we had been to game reserves as children, my sister and I, and the thought that they could be extinct in my lifetime was that kind of, again, talking about like looking out for those universal signs. And I saw that, I was thinking this, put the two together, and I was like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what the brand is going to be about. It's going to have a greater purpose than all of these other brands that are there, that are just amazing brands as they are. They're just shorts. And for me, Love Brand products are more than just shorts or just a t-shirt. It's what it stands for. And that was our mantra and mission from the start. Sorry, rambling on there, Peter.
No. I was just listening to you ramble with keen interest. It is interesting. Elephants is like something that you kind of see on TV growing up. You might be watching films. It could be Octopussy, Indiana Jones, and then you might even catch one at a zoo. But until you actually see them in the flesh, in their own habitat, I was lucky enough to see that a couple of years ago in South Africa at a wildlife park. And we were encircled in this in the car by, I'm not going to call it a stampede of elephants, but a herd of elephants kind of going left and right over us, and the tour guide saying, just keep still, don't do anything, don't say anything, you know. I mean, he was very experienced, but he was like, just, you have to ride this out. You're kind of in the middle of all of these elephants flanking you left and right. And then one elephant just stopped and kind of just stopped and looked in. It was a younger one, and just almost just to say, what's going on in that car? Who is this? Who is this guy? Nothing to see here. Moving on. But that kind of one moment, I mean, your whole world just stops for a second and you're looking into like another world in their eyes. They are just this, like no other creature, I think. They're just so magical to see. And, well, sorry, rambling on myself about a South Africa trip. But the, I was going to ask when you met Rose, your girlfriend to then wife, and what kind of idea did you have in the head at the time? And did you have the ideas almost fleshed out, and were you pitching them to her, or did you nurture these ideas together?
Yeah, so I kind of relayed the story in a bit of a jumbled fashion. So I was kind of pursuing a business of my own. I wanted to do, I suppose there's the overriding logic was that, you know, I loved the holiday feeling and the beach lifestyle, and so I was wanting to continue doing something in summer lifestyle rather than a business and something else. I think that was what I wanted to do, but I was kind of working out what the first product would be and what the brand would be and what it would look like at the time that I met Rose, and we kind of shaped that together. I would say Rose has been the most incredible sounding board and guardian of the brand over the decade. And really she's never worked in the business or been on the payroll, but the team and I always had this, you know, great respect for Rose's view, and that has helped steer my kind of creativity and direction of the company over the years wisely. We still made a ton of mistakes, as you would when you're doing something with no experience really at all going into it. You know, we've learned from those mistakes, and I think the brand is almost better for that, because we have been allowed to do it our way. Rather being told this is how it's done. So we wanted to do it our way, and we kind of knew that we'd probably get a few things wrong, but at the end of the day, we were doing it with a huge amount of passion. It was huge amounts of fun. We were doing it together, and did it really matter? And we've been very lucky with that. And I think, yeah, that's quite unique to us and how we've done it. Wouldn't necessarily recommend the way we've done it to the next budding businessman out there. It's taken an awful lot of time. It's been a huge amount of pain, and when I say pain, I mean just, you know, a lot of things haven't gone right, and there's been huge lows and huge highs. But I do think at the end of the day, you get something that's very true to you and what you want it to be, and kind of authentic proposition as a result.
And are you designing the collections, Oliver? I know you've designed the recent one. Where are the garments made, and how are the designs coming together?
Yeah, I do all of the designs. So I from the beginning I've sort of done everything, and as the company's grown, I've been lucky enough to not have to do everything, because you quickly work out what you're good at and what you're terrible at. And in my case, I really enjoy the design and the creative direction of the brand. And I've been able to really kind of explore my creativity that I had, and wanted to pursue when I was doing fine art and architecture through my print design, which has been really fun. So I design with prints as well as the collections, but really the collections are relatively small. I mean, we don't aim to be doing huge, groundbreaking, products. Really, we just want to do be first in class at what we do, and that's an incredible swimming trunk, the best linen shirt, t-shirt, those essentials, and just elevate those and refine those year on year, season on season. We just keep tweaking and to be the best it can be. So that's and as well as that, I've really been very involved from the beginning on the charity side and what the brand's values are. That's evolved massively over the 10 years. I mean, from the first day, from the first pair of trunks, we donated a percentage of our revenue rather than profit, understanding that we probably weren't profitable, and wanting to genuinely make a difference and donate to our partners. We did it on revenue, which was an interesting idea and concept in itself. And we've done that from the beginning, but how we've incorporated that into the brands and how and projects that we've supported have evolved massively over the 10 years. And at the same time, we've really addressed, not just maximizing our impact to help wildlife through the brand, but also minimizing our impact on the planet through the brand as well. And that's something that's come through more and more. And, we are, taking our sustainability credentials really seriously and really excited to be producing everything in beautiful factories where we really know them by name and by family, and they're all pioneering and steadfast in reducing their impacts, and we're embracing all the technologies and fabrications that are out there. And our swim shorts are made from 100% recycled single-use plastic, which is always still amazes me that they can have such a kind of cotton handle and be so soft to wear and still dry so fast and be made from plastic bottles, essentially. Mm. Through to all of our resort wears, organic, plant-based, a lot of linen, hemp, the trims are recycled, our buttons are made of nut rather than plastic. We're conscious of, how we dye and how we print and all the way through to, the locations of all of this and how we can measure and reduce our impact and carbon footprint over time. And that's something that will continue to evolve for as long as I, still, and our brand's still in alive and in operation. It's something that we're committed to always endeavouring to improve. And that's a far cry from how it all started. Because when you have never made a garment in your life, it was literally as basic as speaking to a friend, saying any ideas where I can make something, and they might know someone who makes something in a factory in Hong Kong, which was what happened in our case. In our first shorts, although a very reputable factory, and it was all great, just a million miles away from where we are now, and it's great, how the brand and how that's evolved.
Where are the factories now?
So most of all of our factories are in Europe, but a lot of them are in Spain and Portugal. That's where the bulk of the line is made. There's these fantastic factories there. And as I say, it's such a beautiful parts of the world. I mean, I think all the team and I like try and get us to go down there and have you know, visit the factories and have a nice glass of wine as much as possible. It's just lovely part of the world. But they are, you know, they're lovely people, and they're doing really interesting things. As I say, like one of them's using old, pistachio nutshells and other organic things to go back into like the energy source for their factory in the winter. And, you know, little ideas like that, I just think it's really innovative, and you know, we're all on the same page. And we've been, as we've grown as a company, we've taken that kind of auditing and really choosing those partners really carefully. We're very pleased with and excited to continue these incredible partnerships with the makers that we have.
Interesting. And Oliver, I know you got a place, some bricks and mortar down in Notting Hill. Down, is it Westbourne Grove?
We've got two actually. One in Westbourne and one in Chelsea. One's just between the Fulham Road and the King's Road. And similar, it's quite, a lot of people say, why have you got, you know, you've got the whole earth, why have you got two shops 1 mile from each other? And that's a very good point. But no, it was, you know, they have very different kind of customers, and you know, being quite close, we can dual manage those relatively easily. But yeah, we've got those two stores, and we're looking to open our first international store potentially this year, which is exciting.
Cool. Do we know where, or is that a secret?
It's a secret, Peter. Nothing's confirmed, so I wouldn't want to jinx it. But I mean, over the next few years, certainly we've got ambitious plans internationally, and you know, all the spots where there's lots of sun and sea, you know, is a place that our brand can call home. But yeah, that's again the irony of starting a beachwear brand in London, where there is not so much sun, and there is some sea, but not quite the sea that one imagines. So, people that I meet say, this is really nuts. So you've got a beachwear brand and you started that and you sell that from London. I'm like, yeah, that's what we do.
And your next question is, well, actually, yeah. It was a question that I was going to pose to you. How you must get this all the time, but how do you kind of sustain this business, especially if you are in London and that's where your HQ is, based on resort wear, when we all know that, you know, how long the winters last in this country. So how do you kind of ride that wave when the wear was not so good here?
Yeah, England's definitely seasonal. In the early years, there were some very bleak winters in the shops for sure. But what we've done over time is evolve the store concept to kind of counter that. And we have it more as a daily ritual and hub for the communities where we are. And we offer amazing coffee from the shop, as well as some other light F&Bs, drinks and teas and things. All very interestingly curated, as well as more things for the less seasonal things, like things for home and for the villa, that form part of this other big evolution of the brand, as well as developing our own main line. We've created Love Brand Loves, which is forming quite a big part of our 2022 plans. And what Love Brand Loves is again on the tin, is basically brands that we love, that share our values and lifestyle, and that together with Love Brand forms this one-stop summer shop. And really, we want the store to be that sort of definitive holiday destination. You know, if you're booking a trip and you're going somewhere sunny, then you know, if you're looking to shop discerningly, then it's somewhere you should check out. And that, as well as the coffee, you know, gives us something, you know, to keep people coming back. Because that said, Peter, like, I I didn't immediately answer it because it's changed so much with recent times in pandemic. But there is in normal times. There's with travel as it normally is. You know, it's always summer somewhere, and people are looking for beachwear. 365. And as the brand grew before the pandemic, we was pretty busy throughout the year with people going away on trips. And La Brand's also a lovely thing to buy for people's birthdays, which obviously throughout the year. Inspiring holidays, you give someone some shorts, it's like, right, book the holidays. Something that I've seen a few canny people do. But obviously all of that slightly shot out the water with what's happened in recent times.
I was talking to Alexandra, who connected us, the good lady works down at the PR firm for you guys, and she mentioned that there is a partnership coming up in April. Can we touch upon that?
There are lots of partnerships coming up in April. Which one was she alluding to?
It's a one of a well-known travel company.
Ah, exactly. So one of my favorite travel companies in the world. And actually my father's honeymoon way back when was with these guys. And so I've been excited to work with them for a long time and no more delaying who they are. The partner is Abercrombie & Kent. There's a UK-based travel agency, and they are celebrating their 60 years this year, which is incredible. And we've been invited to be part of that celebration, and we're doing some exclusive prints that highlight some of the amazing accomplishments of this company over the last six decades. And so that's one of the few exciting collaborations, and the other one's also travel related and also a company that I hugely admire, which is Globetrotter. And we've become friends of Globetrotter, and we've got a safari Globetrotter case coming out this summer as well, which is lined with one of our prints. And that is a dream come true to see my prints that are, they start as little ideas in my weird old brain, and then they get I sketch them, and then I work on them digitally, and then we see them in fabric form and then in product form. And it's always amazing to see that journey of each little idea, which all stem from my own and Rose's experiences of our travels and our love of the planet and the wildlife, and could be anything that really triggers a print. And this summer, actually, we are going back to the beginning, which is, again, there's this big feeling of looking back on the last decade this year. And the collection goes back to India, which is where our first partnership began. It was this, remember I was saying there was this elephant parade in London in 2010. Well, the charity behind that was called Elephant Family, which was founded by Mark Shand. And they do all of this incredible conservation work in India. The project that we've been supporting for some time is this what we call human elephant coexistence, or which is the idea of humans in these remote parts of India, rather than being at conflict with wild migrating elephants, because you've got elephants going through these ancient migratory paths and destroying crops and disrupting villages. So rather than that conflict, it's respecting their corridors and their space and adapting the urbanization, the development plans, the plantations to allow for those routes. And there's amazing little things going on. As an anecdotal example, is that elephants love jackfruit and bananas plants. So they might plant a larder next to the tea plantation to draw the wild elephants there to avoid disturbing their crop. And these sorts of very simple strategies of just local people, you know, adapting to coexist with, you know, our largest land mammal is extraordinary. And we've been supporting this project kind of over the years, you know, since the beginning. And this year we're going back to tell that story again, and how this chap in is an award-winning conservationist called Dulu Borah, who we're over the years have been sponsoring to do his work in this area of Assam region of India. And all the prints are inspired by the Indian jungle, and you've got kind of these magnificent birds called great hornbills, you've got leopards, tigers, Indian palaces, elephants, and giant butterflies. And then all the colors are kind of inspired as well from this ruby reds and the sort of mystical greens. And that was where I was going with the kind of collection this year. It was really kind of going back to the trip that Rose and I took in 2010 when we went into the jungle and saw all that for the first time, and how that's really stayed with us all this time. And we're still supporting what that amazing work is all about. So that's one of the prints that will be found inside this like limited edition case, which is exciting.
Amazing. And Globetrotter, one of my favorite brands, a James Bond brand as well known.
Oh yeah.
So I guess you're kind of a couple of steps removed from James Bond yourself. Got Globetrotter. I know Richard Branson wears your stuff. He was in Casino Royale, 2 second cameo. I'm trying to thread the needle on this. You guys won't be that far away from providing some clothes for the films.
I mean, as a massive Bond fan, I never say never. I think, I suppose our brand is very casual. You know, it's inspired by Rose and I's love of the Bahamas, which is where Rose's family have long family ties. And all of the conversation that we've had about our journeys into jungles and our love of wildlife is the one side. And then on the other side, there's our love of beach life, which was suddenly on steroids when I met Rose's partner in crime, who also loved all of the beach stuff that I loved. How amazingly fortuitous it is for me that her family for several generations have been living in the Bahamas as well as the UK. And so off we went to the Bahamas, and that also was at a time that we were creating our first line. And a lot of that easy breezy, as I call it, island style comes through in our brand still today. And we're now living here in the Bahamas, and it's very much a part of the aesthetic and the style and feeling of the brand. I say all of that because maybe there is a scene in a Bond film where he's really relaxing, and it's all about the materiality and the feeling of the clothes rather than just looking incredibly sharp and suave, which Bond always does. He needs a strong rum punch, or as we say in the Bahamas, a rum dum. And which is a particularly good cocktail out here that would work. But yeah, no, I mean, it would be a dream to do collaborations like that. And you know, I love collaborating. It's so fun. I mean, we're a fun brand, and you know, working with other creative people is such an honor. And fingers crossed, more of these sorts of things to come in the future.
Whereabouts in the Bahamas are you?
So we are on the kind of Life of Key side, which is the just working out my geography. It's
where Sean Connery was before he passed. That's his residence, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was literally driving. So his house I see every day, his old house. I always think of him. So yeah, he had a huge affinity to the Bahamas and lived at Life of Key for many years. Yeah, and he's hugely popular here. And my mother-in-law knew him well as someone who, and my grandmother-in-law as well.
Wow.
So there are lots of links to the Bond films in funny sorts of ways. But yeah, no, we're that side, and then the other end of the island is where Nassau Town is, the main town itself.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know where you are. Yeah, I went to the Bahamas in fact it was just before the world shut down, so it would have been a couple of years ago, so managed to get in there, do the Bond locations, and then get out of Dodge. But you've got the mall, you've got Palmyra from Thunderball, so you've got Largo's Gaff and the shark pool there. You've got the Ocean Club from Casino Royale. And also, I'll tell you a good one. It wouldn't be too far away from you down in Life of Keys, the kind of skeletal construction site at the beginning of the pre-titles of Casino Royale. So where he's chasing on foot and then has to jump from one crane to another crane.
Is that shot here?
Yeah. So that's down by that neck of the woods. And I think it's like an old military base. So you can't get to it, but you can get to the fence, as it were, and take some.
That's amazing. So cool. And is the sort of junk canoe elements of because all isn't Thunderball all it, that's all filmed in that sort of imagine as well.
Yeah.
The sort of the festival bits.
Yeah.
The carnival side.
I'll send you a link because I documented all the geeky ones. I mean, the best one is actually, if you manage to get down to the hotel on the beach, I think it's not Love Beach. In fact, that's where he shot Lagos, I think, with the spear gun and pinned him to a wall. So that's Love Beach. You can go down there. You can sneak onto there. But the breakwater down by the hotel on Paradise Beach.
Yep.
So that's where a lot of the underwater stuff starts in Thunderball. And you can still sneak down there. The lifeguards won't let you do it, but you know, you got to be a bit rebellious, like Bond himself. You got to sneak into these places.
Like Bond himself.
Yeah. I digress. Oliver, it's been such a treat talking to you, learning all about the brand. Lovebrand.com is a place people can go and check out some of the wonderful stuff over there. And if you're in town, Notting Hill and Chelsea as well, two shops where you can go in and physically look at the stuff. We'll put all the links over on the show notes at menswearstyle.co.uk, and enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for joining us, Oliver.
Thanks, Peter. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content, and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you would like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.